Another non-specific defense is fever. And fever is a rise in body temperature, and the reason that it's important is that by raising the temperature, it inhibits reproduction of viruses and bacteria. So it brings the body's temperature to a level that is not conducive to viruses and bacteria reproducing. So it helps to stop them from reproducing and becoming more more prevalent in the body. Also, in some cases, the high temperatures can also kill viruses and bacteria. A fifth type of non-specific defense is executed by some of the white blood cells. Many of the white blood cells can do this. This is an action called phagocytosis, and you should remember it from cell biology or general biology. And with phagocytosis, the cells, the white blood cells, are going to actually engulf or eat the bacteria or viruses and digest them and destroy them. And so it's kind of a two-step process, phagocytosis. The cells will seek, identify, and destroy and digest foreign antigens or pathogens. And in some cases, the phagocytes, which are the cells that engage in phagocytosis, will also process antigens, which are surface markers on the pathogen's cell walls, or excuse me, cell membranes, and present those antigens to other white blood cells to trigger parts of the specific immunity and call into play some of the immune system's more sophisticated methods of eradicating bacteria and viruses. So the phagocytes can be, even though they're part of the non-specific defense system, they can actually aid the specific defense system in identifying which bacteria, which viruses, etc., are in the body and that need to be fought off by the specific immune system. So they kind of act like spies or intelligence gatherers for the specific immune system. And there are two major types of phagocytes. These are the microphages and the macrophages. And the microphages are usually the neutrophils are going to fill this category, and they engulf bacteria, viruses, etc., or sometimes other organisms, single-celled organisms or worms are possibilities. And the two that are the main players here are going to be the neutrophils and the eosinophils. The neutrophils make up about 50 to 70% of the white blood cells. And they basically roam around in the bloodstream and search for anything abnormal that needs to be engulfed and destroyed. So these are phagocytic white blood cells that move throughout the blood, and they can also move through the tissues. They're highly mobile. And they are just, they're kind of like cops on the beat. They're looking for anything that might be wrong and taking care of it. The eosinophils are going to be a little less common, quite a bit less common actually, than the neutrophils. And these can only phagocytize pathogens that have been coated with antibodies. So they can only go after the pathogens that have already been identified by the specific immune system, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And what they do is they go after these antibody-coated pathogens, and they secrete toxic compounds which can kill them. And the eosinophils are especially important for killing worm parasites. Now, before we go on to the macrophages, I do want to point out that the neutrophils, as they try to battle whatever infection there may be, they phagocytize and digest as many of the bacteria or viruses as they can. As they do this, they eventually die and accumulate. And when they accumulate, they form what we know of as pus. So if you've ever wondered what pus is, it's basically dead white blood cells, dead neutrophils that have been in the area battling and trying to phagocytize whatever infecting agents are there. So next we're going to move on to the macrophages, and these are larger than the microphages. And in general, these are going to be the monocytes. And these monocytes turn into macrophages if there's an infection present. And so they kind of spend most of their life as monocytes until there's an infection and they're needed, and then they transform into macrophages. And macrophages can leave the bloodstream and travel to different tissues seeking out pathogens. And think of them as being sort of like neutrophils on steroids. They're much larger than the neutrophils, and they are more effective at phagocytizing any kind of pathogen that might be available. So if it's a small infection, sometimes the neutrophils will be all that's needed to clear up the infection. But if the infection is overwhelming to the neutrophils, then the macrophages will be called into action. And the macrophages also play an important role in coordinating with the specific immune system by taking some of the antigens or surface markers that are found in a pathogen and presenting those to the specific immune system so that antibodies and other forms of specific immunity can come into play. Now, we often talk about fixed macrophages and also free macrophages. There's kind of two different types of macrophages based on their location. And the fixed macrophages are generally found in the lymph nodes or in the lymphoid tissues that can sometimes be found in the organs or embedded in membranes throughout the body. And these are macrophages that sort of stay in one place. And as the lymph moves past them, they search out and detect any kind of pathogens that might be there and, of course, engulf those or phagocytize those and take care of those. Free macrophages, on the other hand, can travel through the blood or throughout the tissues, and they can also bring antigen fragments to the T cells, which are part of the specific immunity, which we'll talk about in a little bit.